Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, FanRag Sports, NDT Scouting with you, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, we always are like, well, we're going to talk about this on the show. We're going to talk about this. And then some breaking freaking news happens, and we've got to switch gears entirely, which is good. It's good for the brand, right? I mean, this is what we do. This time of year, April rolls around, and players start getting traded and teams start moving around and the draft order starts reshaping and we've got all new topics of conversation. And no surprise, New England and the Rams, two of the teams that you could have probably predicted making more moves. The Rams have already made a million. The Patriots always make a bunch. Make a move. Brandon Cooks goes to the Rams. The Rams get a fourth round pick back, or the Rams get Cooks and a fourth rounder. Patriots get the first rounder, number 23, and a sixth rounder from the Rams. Real quick, snap judgment, winner or loser of this trade, or is there one?
I think the Patriots are the winners because they got number 23, and I mean the Patriots are a team that I don't even mean this on a negative for Cooks, although I'm not as high as Cooks as other people seem to be. But I mean the Patriots can kind of win with anybody. Like their offense is. They don't really need like a bona fide wide receiver one. I mean, it'd be nice. Obviously, you'd rather have more talented guys, but we've obviously seen that the Patriots know how to make something out of nothing, if you will, a lot of times with the wide receiver position, especially when Gronk is healthy. So for them to be able to flip Brandon Cooks for a first round pick, I think that's a big win for the Patriots. I think it's for the Rams. Like, I think it's a I like the addition of Cooks. I like Cooks going to the Rams. That's fine. But them giving up a first was a lot to me, especially when they already had Sammy Watkins on the team. Brandon Cooks is getting paid $8.5 million this year, and they're going to have to sign him to a deal that basically Sammy Watkins was going to get from this year, probably more as the money goes up. And both of them are the same age. It just felt really weird that they preferred – and I guess, you know, the timing of things has to be a little bit different because one happened a couple weeks ago in free agency. Now they got some of the guys that they want. Now they're kind of obviously going all in to win over the next 2 years, even this year. I just thought it was like to think that the gap between Brandon Cooks and Sammy Watkins on the Rams offense is worth a first round pick, number 23 overall, is just a lot for me. It doesn't really add up.
Yeah, I actually think that's a great point because in the risk, obviously, is that I don't think Cooks has missed what his rookie season. He played 10 games since then.
He missed his rookie year because he broke his thumb, I think. Yeah. I think he broke his thumb.
He's played like every single game since then. So he's not a guy that misses games. Obviously, that's been a concern for Sammy Watkins if you're going to give him money in term on a deal. But I really like Brandon Cooks. Like, I think Cooks is really good. I mean, 65 catches. I don't know why Patriots fans are acting like he didn't do anything there. He had 1,000 yards receiving on 65 catches. He averaged almost 17 yards a catch. He had 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's had 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and he's had 9, 8, and 7 touchdowns the last couple of years. Yes, he does a lot of his work vertically, but he's freaking good at that. The one thing he doesn't do is really win above the rim and play off physical contact really well. If you're paying a guy big money long term, you're paying him to be a number one type receiver, that part would concern me. He's been in two prolific offenses. That has undoubtedly helped him be productive. He'll go to one in L.A., though. So I think that he will remain productive in L.A. He'll have played in three terrific systems for Josh McDaniels, for Sean Payton, and for Sean McVay. That's not bad for a receiver. So I think he'll continue to produce because those guys will use what he does really well. I think it will be a productive move for the Rams. The big question becomes, do they pay him long-term? And now they kind of
have to.
You just gave up a first-rounder for him. It's not a rent thing. So now you've got to pay him.
I would be surprised if they didn't like have an extension for him lined up already.
Right.
You don't make that trade unless you can get him long-term. That would just be stupid.
Right. Correct. And so maybe they feel like they've solved a big issue for the foreseeable future. You and I are big Josh Reynolds fans. This did not sit well with me from that standpoint because Robert Woods was a stud last year. Kupp can play in the slot. I think you're excited. I mean, hopefully they're excited about what Gerald Everett can bring. A second rounder last year who can stretch the field as a tight end. I just thought they were okay. You know, I didn't think that they needed to make a big move like this. Add another guy in the draft, you know, in the sweet spots, one of those middle rounds, maybe that 87th pick, and you'd be good to go. Now, not that the Rams, right side of the Rams offensive line can definitely use some upgrades, but I feel like the offense is almost kind of set in stone for the Rams. They got to find a linebacker. They got to find a pass rusher. And I felt good about the fact that Josh Sweat or Rashawn Evans or maybe even Leighton Van Der Esch, one of those linebackers, Fred Warner, is going to be available to them at 23. Is going to be available to them at some point in the draft. Somebody that they could plug in right away and be an impact player for them. They obviously didn't feel the same way, but that becomes their primary need, right? We've talked a lot about what they've done in the interior defensive line, and it's great. But if we're being serious, they're not going to play, Brockers or Donald at defensive end a lot of times. So I mean, or an outside linebacker, whatever it might be. So they definitely need some upgrades there. And right now, you look across the roster, and it looks like Samson Ebikom's going to start, who was a fourth rounder last year, highly athletic kid, super super raw. Was kind of a surprise fourth rounder, actually. Not a lot of people had heard of him. But other than that, man, it's slim pickings right now on the edge for they've got some situational guys that can play there, but they definitely need an edge. They definitely need linebacker help, and I think that's where they'll focus on now with what's left of their draft. But there's not much left. They don't pick until the 87th pick, so they basically said, we don't like this class. We're getting guys that we know that are proven. I don't mind that mindset at all, but they've put themselves in a situation where I think those are kind of important holes, spots on the roster, and right now they're pretty big holes too.
Well, I think that really with this trade happening now and for the price that it was, I guess they were looking at offense.
Yeah. But you mean in a free agency?
There's an edge need for this team. Yeah. And so I think that they were going to go offense at 23. Now, obviously, they don't have the pick anymore. So I wonder what their draft strategy is now, not being able to pick for quite a long time. But I wonder if they think that they overpaid a little bit too, but I've got to think that they were targeting some kind of pass catcher the first round. And so instead they're like, okay, we're going to overpay a little bit. We're going to get a guy who's been in the league. We'll get a guy on our team, and hopefully we're making a title run in 2018. Like that, I get that thinking. It's just, I'm wired to think about the draft and certain value and long-term stuff and the health of your team, health of your roster, sustaining longevity. And it's tough when you, especially anytime you overpay at a first-round level, that's really hard for me to get on board with. And like Brandon Cooks, people have been talking to me about the 1,000-yard seasons. Like, 1,000-yard seasons are great. I'm not saying that they're not, but a lot of wide receivers get 1,000 yards. I think touchdowns is probably what matters more. And Cooks has had, I think it was 9, 8, 7.
Yeah. He's still produced 9, there.
9, 8, 7. Okay. So, okay. And then all of those were, I'm trying to remember. I think it was the first year, his 9 was tied for 14th in the league.
14th among receivers?
Yes.
Touchdowns was tied for 14th in the league in 2015?
I have it up right now. You want me to read it to you?
What? I mean, you don't have to.
Brandon Marshall, Doug Baldwin, Allen Robinson, 14. Tyler Eifert, Odell Beckham, 13.
Ooh, Eric Decker. Everybody was catching balls this year.
Eric Decker, 12. Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, DeAndre Hopkins, 11. AJ Green, Antonio Brown, Ted Ginn, Allen Hurns, 10.
What?
Sammy Watkins, Gary Barnage, Calvin Johnson,
Gary,
Michael Crabtree, Brandon Cooks, Larry Fitzgerald were at 9. Julio Jones was at 8. So it's
okay. So you want to hear something funny? You want to hear something crazy?
Sure.
This year, 9 touchdowns would have been 4th in the league. DeAndre Hopkins had 13. Devonta Adams and Jimmy Graham each had 10, and then there were a couple players with 4 different players with 9 touchdowns. So that year was a massive aberration.
I guess that's kind of – and when I looked at his touchdowns, it's like I think it was tied for 14th, tied for 9th, and then tied for 20 or something is the two things that he had or the three things that he had. So I like Brandon Cooks. Like, I think Brandon Cooks is good. I actually had a pretty high grade on him when he was coming out. I don't know, like, people are throwing stats at me like I'm supposed to care, and two of the most pass-happy offenses like in the NFL just gave on him.
Like I'm supposed to care.
Like, that's funny. Two of the most pass-happy offenses in the NFL just traded him away. Now, granted, for first-round picks, right. But
and that's the again, thing. I think that tells Yeah, it does tell you something, but I think Cooks was maybe unhappy with the Saints. I think New England would have wanted to keep him. I think New England's about to make a big move. I think they valued Cooks a lot. I think they really, I mean, they traded first for him, and he obviously wasn't disappointing. I mean, I don't know how you can look at Cooks last year and say the guy didn't fulfill what they wanted. You know, I think they saw the opportunity to move one of the few players that was still movable on their roster, who was due a big upgrade, who they weren't going to pay. The Patriots don't pay guys. They would love to keep him on the roster for next year, I think.
Yeah, so let's get into the Patriots now. Do you think that the Patriots did this trade to get Odell Beckham, or do you think that they did this trade to move up for a quarterback?
At first, I thought it was Odell Beckham, but it seemed like people in the media were saying it's not for Odell. They're not going to be a part of the trade market. Somebody said that yesterday.
How big of a clash would New England media be with Odell Beckham?
Oh my goodness, it would be a disaster. But it would be a great spot for
Odell.
So
many tweets would have to be deleted.
Imagine
people. Patriots fans would have to go back, you know, basically search all of their mentions, delete all their negative OBJ tweets.
Yeah, it would be, just imagine OBJ, Edelman, OBJ, first of all, in a Nyheart Perkins offense where he's going to move all around and run routes from all different kinds of alignments. It's great. Edelman on top of that, and then you've got Rob Gronkowski if he's healthy. I mean, this is... all of a sudden a very scary team. Plus, even if they trade, what's it going to, if they've got the two first now and they're going to trade the two first for OBJ, they've still got 2 seconds, don't they? I mean, the Patriots are still pretty loaded. So
yeah,
now you take the 2 seconds you have and you can still get one of the better running backs in the draft. If you wanted to, you could still get a pass rusher probably at that point in the draft. They've already done a lot to improve that defensive line. They brought in Adrian Claiborne, an inside rusher type guy, and they have Flowers and Dietrich Wise in his next year. Derek Rivers comes back from injury, so it may not even be a huge priority to them. Danny Shelton and Malcolm Lawrence inside, Lawrence Guy coming off the bench, Vince Valentine's back from injury. Adam Butler was great as an undrafted free agent last year. They probably feel pretty good about, definitely great about their interior guys. They probably feel better about their edge guys than they've had in a while, with guys like Claiborne and Flowers and Rivers coming back and the improvements Wise has made. So, I think that, they could get a corner in the second round. For sure. And they can get a running back in the second round, for sure. I mean, left tackle is a priority too, so that's something they could target. But right now they have 23, 31, 43, and 63. Man, I just feel like you could trade 23 and 43
that's a lot
for
of ammo,
Odell.
Man.
I just think you could
that's
keep
a lot of, that's a, lot,
that's
of
a
ammo.
Lot of ammo. I would go after Odell if I were New England, wouldn't you? Or I see a weak AFC, I see the opportunity to make a run at a Super Bowl and win now. I think you can make a run at Odell.
Yeah, but the pass roster is bad.
Is it? I mean, yes, but
yes.
Aren't they going to win anyway? They're still going to be one of the best teams in the AFC.
Right, but like,
so if you get Odell, doesn't it put you over the top, even if your roster isn't great?
If you're – no, I guess it depends. Do they want to – I guess they're at a crossroads. They could either go all in with Brady the way that they have it right now. Obviously, go get somebody like Odell and keep – for the next 2 years, maybe, whatever it is that Brady's going to play, just go as all in as they possibly can for the rest of these 2 years to see how many championships they can get before Tom Brady retires.
That's what I would
do. Or this is the perfect opportunity to really start to revamp that roster and actually try to make it a smooth transition when Tom Brady retires, as opposed to a massive drop off, which would happen if
Brady's
they do something
play
like
2 or 3 more years, though. They're not. I don't. That's why I don't think they're making a move for a quarterback. I don't think Brady's done after this year. And you're not taking a quarterback if he's not gonna beat out Tom Brady. Like, Brady's gonna be good until he retires. Yeah, I mean, he's gonna be good even after he retires. So if Brady's not retiring after next year,
very
I don't
true.
Think, Brady's gonna be your quarterback for the next 2 years at least. Maybe down the road after that, we think about something. But I just think he's gonna be your quarterback for the next 2 years. I just don't think they're gonna make a move for a quarterback. I think they're in win now mode. I think they need to be, and I think they need to make the move for Odell, because look at this roster. If it has Odell, okay, hear me out here, because I know you're right that they're weak at some points, but what if they did this? What if they go Odell with the two first round, they trade the two first rounders for Odell, then they come back in the second, okay. And I think this is not, this is very plausible. They get a corner in 43. Jaire Alexander's a possibility. I think Carlton Davis is a possibility. Don't be so surprised. Jaire Alexander, a smaller frame guy coming off an injury-riddled season. I don't know. I think there's a chance he's there for sure. Right, but this always happens. Derek Rivers landed in the Patriots' lap in the third round last year. So what if it goes or Carlton Davis or something like that, a corner to play on the outside, press man type of guy, whatever.
Okay.
And then they come back at 63 and they take DeMarco Jones or left tackle, you know, at that point in the draft. Now, are any left tackle options you're going to get at 63 going to be great? In my opinion, no. But the Patriots have survived with some pretty weak offensive tackle play. I mean, Nate Solder's not who I think people are about to see. They'd say he's okay, but, you know, he's not great or anything. And I think that I think they can survive with
Brady
adequate
tackle play. Brady got the ball out
play.
So fast.
Right. They can survive
Brady gets
with
the
adequate
ball out
tackle
so
play.
So fast.
Right. This team, more than any other team in the league, can survive with adequate right tackle play. Then, even after that, you're telling me you can't find a running back at 95 to contribute, you know, along with the other picks, that the other guys in the roster that they already have, guys like James White and Rex Burkhead. I mean, this is – that's to me, that's the Patriots. So, you know, so let's say you find – those two guys, and then at 95, you're grabbing Kerryon Johnson or somebody like that, you know, to help out with the running back situation. All of a sudden, the holes on the roster don't feel quite so big, and this seems, you know, they get Deontay Hightower back at linebacker, Kyle Van Noy fully healthy. You know, I don't think it's a great linebacker core for sure, but that's okay. They've played that way for a long time now. I mean, they traded away Collins. I don't think that worries them a whole lot. Safety play still have Chung, McCourty, and Harmon. Those are still three stud safeties that they have. They love to play those three safety packages. Gilmore really came on at the end of last season. I mean, yeah, there's issues. I mean, I don't think Eric Rowe's great, but they brought in McCourty and another veteran guy that can play inside and outside. And you know, the offensive line's in place other than the left tackle spot. And now you've got three of the best weapons in the league at receiver. And we're not even talking about guys like Chris Hogan, who led the league in yards per catch two seasons ago, and Malcolm Mitchell missed most of last season injured. He was super impressive as a rookie. I just think it can be like they can jump back up to being with a great draft and the trade for Odell. Mm-hmm. They could be the best roster in the AFC again and put themselves in a position to win two more Super Bowls. And the AFC is not that great, and they own Pittsburgh. Is there anybody else that really, really scares you if you're Paige? I don't know. In the division,
no.
I don't know that the division's getting a whole heck of a lot better recently either. So I think this is their window. They go get Odell. I would pull the trigger.
That'd be
100%
fun.
100% I would pull
It'd
the trigger
fun.
If I were New England.
And I It'd be fun for everybody except for those who just straight up hate Patriots.
Which,
fans,
of course, is
so.
Me. Of course, that's of course,
you just gave them a great blueprint right. to make their team better.
Yeah, so Belichick's listening to the podcast right now. And he's like, "Wow, that Ledyard." He's
no, he's Billy B, big on. Fan of the pod,
yeah.
big fan.
Oh well, yeah, he said that I think before in his long soliloquies to the media. I think he's mentioned us a couple times. But for the Rams, I like the fact that Cooks gives them that. I mean, that was if you looked at this offense, they needed the vertical threat still. That was a big part of what they did off play action. Sammy Watkins, the threat of him vertically and the impact he made vertically, even though he didn't have crazy production all year long. So being able to get a guy like that in Cooks, huge, I think. What they're going to do long-term, because just about half this roster is free agents next year. Now they have tons of cap space and flexibility. So they're going to be able to re-sign a ton of different people. It's just a matter of prioritizing who. Obviously, Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald have to get top priority, but you've got Sue, you've got Roger Saffold, who's played great at left guard. Now you've got Brandon Cooks, they're going to be a free agent. I'm forgetting LaMarcus Joyner.
That's a lot of money.
Is Peters going to be too? Or I think Peters is going to be. I mean, I don't know. There's a ton. Now they have tons of money, and they should pay a lot of these guys. This year's going to be big, but that's a lot of deals to get done, and a lot of guys looking at each other saying, what'd he make? I'm trying to make that, you know? So seeing who the
Marcus
team
Peters will be a free agent. Marcus Peters will be a free agent in
2 years. 2020.
Yeah.
Or 2019.
Did he sign an extension?
I don't think so. He might have his fifth year option.
Oh, no. He was a first round pick. So,
right.
So he gets his $9.5 million next year. Okay.
Okay. So they just have to pick up his option.
Still. Yeah.
Which there
so,
you go.
But I mean,
there's
picking
your
up
money.
Your option.
Right.
Yeah.
Still getting paid. So technically, he would be a free agent until they pick up that option, which I'm sure that they will. I mean, you don't trade what they traded unless you're. Well, actually, shoot, they didn't trade anything for Peters, did they? I forgot about that. They came away with a massive steal at Peters' situation. What'd they trade for him? They've done so many trades now, I can't
pick,
even
right?
remember.
I think a second round pick, right?
Yeah, Chiefs ended up getting a second round pick next year Fourth round pick in 2018, geez. Second round pick in 2019.
But how still. Did we let this happen, folks?
Yeah, not ideal. So, yeah, interesting stuff. Fun stuff to talk about, where the Patriots are headed, where the Rams are headed. I mean, honestly, who would be surprised to see these teams meet in the Super Bowl next year? Certainly would not be me. They are both pretty loaded at this point.
They really are going all in, man. They're all in on this year.
Right. The Rams are, you mean?
Yes.
I think they're going all in on this year, but they have the cap flexibility to extend that window for sure. It's just how they manage it will be key.
Yeah. I think the core talent, certainly. I mean, like, there's no way they're going to be able to sign both Sue and Donald.
Not without letting other people walk, yeah. I mean, they could do that.
Right,
though.
That's what I'm saying.
They could let Joyner walk. But yeah, you're right. That's, yeah.
Did they franchise tag him?
Who? Joyner? They tagged Joyner.
Joyner.
Yeah, they tagged Joyner.
Okay.
Yeah, for this year. And they could tag him again, but it's going to be steeper, you know. So they've got options. It's not like they're backed into a corner because they have all these players about to become free agents and they have no space. They do. They have space.
They're it's good to have options, though,
right?
You know,
they're going to re-sign more of these people.
It's a good
position. Right. I know people are looking at them right now and be like, "Oh, what's going to happen? They're all in on this year because after this year, the whole roster gets blown up." That's not going to happen. They're going to re-sign people. Trust me, they're going to bring a lot of these guys back. It's just a matter of who and to what extent and how much they have to pay guys and how much them having to pay guys that are all already on the same roster all at the same time makes those guys look at each other and be like, oh, you know, what's he getting paid? What do you, are you prioritizing him over me? You know, maybe I should go somewhere else where they're going to prioritize me and get me more money. You know, all that stuff is a part of it too. So yes, it's an interesting situation that we've rarely seen before, but it isn't a hopeless situation for the Rams where, you know, it's this year or bust for them. I think they can extend that window pretty easily. It's just going to be about making a lot of good decisions from here about who is most important to the construction of that roster. So going to be interesting, going to be fun to see what direction they go in. They should definitely compete for a Super Bowl this next year, which is just insane. Who would have thought that? I mean, if we had said that this time last year, people would have laughed at us for sure. So good stuff. As always, we will be back tomorrow. My big board drops. My top 50, at least. I'll probably have 100 done. I'm going to put out 50, I think.
I'm excited. Excited to rip it to shreds. Exactly. Man, it's going to be good.
I know the people are chomping at the bit to get this thing out there. They want to ruin my day for sure. So that should be dropping hopefully at some point, either tonight or tomorrow morning, first thing. One or the other. But we'll discuss that on the pod tomorrow. Then we got a little Fan Friday action. And then a new project that we're kicking off starting next week. What we're doing is a mock draft war room series. Have you heard about this, Trevor? Have you heard tell of our new project that we're launching? Little mock draft action.
Well, since I'm in on the project, am I supposed to say no so you can explain it to the people?
You're supposed to act like you're a fan. Like you're a fan. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard about this. What is this? You know, give me a.
Oh my gosh, I haven't heard about this. What is it?
So I'm glad you asked, Trevor. What it is actually is it's. We're doing a mock draft format, but instead of just people hearing from you and I, we thought that it would be a great idea to bring in voices from around different teams around the league. So, you know, people who are connected and cover the Browns to come in and talk about the Browns picks and eventually pick for the Browns to put on the GM hat and come on the show and make a selection for the Browns. So what we're doing is we've got the Browns picks and the Giants picks dropping on Monday. We've got the next two picks dropping on Tuesday. We're going to go two picks every day. And these clips that we have, you know, 10 to 15 minute shots with these guys who represent each different team are going to play. Monday, Nathan Zagora of Browns Daily, he comes on. He's great stuff. He makes the pick for the Browns, setting up then the Giants, John Schmilk of the Giants, to come on, make the pick for the Giants. And we're going to continue on this thread and eventually build out the entire mock draft, and it'll wrap up right before the NFL draft actually happens. So it's going to be really fun. We're going to have a lot of these pods dropping over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, Trevor and I will jump in here occasionally to give you guys a pod. We've got a mock draft Monday scheduled coming up on the 16th. And then some other things we know we need to get to our positional rankings too. So if you don't mind a couple extra Locked On NFL draft pods, that's what looks like it's headed your way over the next couple weeks. We got a lot to talk about in preparation for the draft. So we're excited. The War Room series launches on Monday. So get excited for that. And in the meantime, we'll wrap up this week and got two more days of really good content this week. So until next time, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.